This is part two of the interview with Stephanie Gasparovic. Let's talk about your team. Tell us the titles of the people on your team and how many people you have in each of those positions.
Sure. My husband is, of course, he's kind of considered our business manager. And then we have two administrative employees that basically, I have one that kind of handles our closing coordination, and she's also the person that handles like our social media and stuff. And then I have another lady that handles a lot of our paperwork plus a lot of our leads and lead tracking and that sort of thing. So we have two paid salaried employees. And then from there, I have three buyer's agents, and I have one on-site agent that works for me at this time.
The buyer agent and on-site agent, they're paid a commission, they're independent contractors?
Yes.
What are your buyer agents responsible for? What do you want them to do? What are their tasks?
Oh, man. Every day, you know, we like them to definitely get out there and prospect. You know, when agents are starting out in the team, we definitely give them a more formal kind of to-do list. Like, these are items that you should be doing. Once they have a good book of business, you know, they're their own thing, and they're doing what they need to do to close deals. The whole, you know, thing with the team is I want my agents out there selling. I don't want them to have to worry about the paperwork and the minor things. You know, I want their focus and attention to be to try to get sales. So that's their job, is, you know, going out there, working with buyers, prospecting, networking, you know, cold calling if they need to, just different ways of getting their name. We have a bunch of agents right now that are taking the Brian Buffini class, and because they've already got a pretty good book of business, but it's, you know, how to manage people after the sale and how we can get, you know, referrals from them. So things like that is what they should be doing.
Do you have a quota system set up for those buyer agents? Do they have to sell a certain number of homes either per month or per year?
You know, at the beginning of each year, we go over goals with them for the team. We try to keep everybody on a minimum of at least two transactions per month. That's kind of, you know, the team goal is every agent should do that much. And if they're not doing that much, we kind of question it and look at it and figure out why. But we, you know, we kind of track it down to them. You know, if they need to make a certain amount of money per year, we separate it into like three columns: what they need to make, what they would like to make, and then if they had the best awesome year ever, you know, this is what they would make. And then from that number, we break it down into how many buyer's appointments they need to go on to, how many listing appointments, how many from there, how many phone calls do they need to make to get those, you know, depending on their conversion ratio. So we're pretty big on our numbers, and, you know, you have to be in order to figure out what you're going to make.
You mentioned listing appointments. Are your buyer specialists also working with sellers?
They are, yes. Yes. So they are buying and listing agents. I will say in the beginning that my agents, if they are new to the team, they are kind of required to just let me preview to make sure that we are marketing a property that is priced correctly. Because on the team, we just do not take overpriced listings. So they are required to, like, let me look at it to make sure we've got everything priced and marketed right. But yes, they do take listings.
Let's talk about your on-site agent. What are their responsibilities? What are their tasks?
Right now, we have a kind of a different situation with one builder, so we kind of technically have two, but the one that works exclusively for me, you know, he's there 5 days a week on-site at the community, and it's the same thing. You know, he's pretty much trying to get traffic to that community. So prospecting, networking, everything, but more so for the community, not for, you know, himself in general. So those are his jobs. And, of course, you know, he has to keep the model looking fresh and nice and that sort of stuff.
How many units are they selling in that subdivision?
We're averaging right now about two a month. And that's pretty much the average in every subdivision here in the area. It's, you know, we're not selling them off the shelves like hotcakes, but we're selling about two a month.
Your on-site agent, you said 5 days a week. Is he working Monday through Friday, or is he covering the weekend?
He covers the weekends. He is off one weekend a month. So we have a floater, what we call a floater agent, that fills in on the days he's not there.
What days does he work?
varies, but usually I think he's there. I believe he is there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then off, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday.
So those are the most busy days for a builder?
Correct.
On that site, do you have one model home or more?
Yes, just one model home.
The agents, how are they compensated? They're paid a percentage of the commission?
Correct. Yep, it's all commission-based.
And is a different commission based on whether they're working with a buyer or a seller?
Yes. For our general brokerage agents, we do have a general, you know, a set split for buyers and then a different split for sellers. We do kind of incentives throughout the month if they sell so many deals, you know, they'll get bumped up a little bit. And for our on-site agents, it's, you know, it kind of depends if there's another agent involved. And if there is, there's one split. If it's a self-sale where he has sold, you know, the buyer without an agent, then it's another split.
The on-site agent, do they get paid a higher or lower split than somebody who's working out in retail?
No, I think it all kind of works out in the end, you know what I mean? It's just a different animal. You know, new homes is different than general brokerage. You know, you're working exclusively for a builder. You're not out there, you know, in the general public. So it's a little different.
Your agreement with the builder, does the commission vary based on whether you brought in the buyer or another agent brings in the buyer?
Yes, I know. Of course, we'll get a little bit of a higher commission split if we bring the buyer. You know, when we sign a listing agreement with the builder, it's a said commission, whether we bring the buyer or we don't. If there's another agent involved, of course, we're going to have to pay that other agent. I would say every situation is a little different.
So basically, your agreement with the builder is they'll pay you a set percentage for any sale, and if you bring a buyer, you earn an additional commission?
Not additional to that, but, you know, we're not having to pay another agent, so of course we're going to get a little bit more.
The builder wouldn't be paying out as much as if another agent came into the transaction?
No, he's paying the same no matter what.
If another agent comes in, you'll basically split your fee with them, and if they don't, then it stays in-house?
Pretty much, yeah.
Do you prefer to hire experienced agents or inexperienced agents?
We've done both, and both have worked out either great or not great. We definitely have had some turnover, that's for sure, and I think that's in any business. But right now I've got two great general brokerage agents. One was brand new, and he is phenomenal, and I've got one that has been experienced, and she is doing great. I mean, we just recently brought on another lady that's been in the business for a while, but she's kind of new so to the team. But the other folks have been with me for a couple years now, and they're doing absolutely wonderful.
So you don't have a preference for experienced versus inexperienced?
I go back and forth.
Okay.
Sometimes I think I like experienced agents. Sometimes I think I like new agents. It just, I don't have a preference. I just want somebody that understands the team concept, understands the value of it, and it's going to work hard.
Is everyone on the team licensed?
Yes. Well, no. I mean, the agents are, the independent contractors are, but my administrative staff and my husband are not.
Why did you decide to start a team?
We had a lot of business coming in, and I think every agent might get to a point where you just can't handle it all and service everybody properly. So, you know, my first step, of course, when I started getting busy, was to hire an administrative assistant and just help with mailings and paperwork and that sort of thing. And then it just kind of grew from there. And once I did that, more stuff came. And from there, I think I hired my first buyer's agent, and I just kind of went off from there. And then pretty soon, you know, we started getting builders and developers that we were working with. And then at that point, I couldn't handle the day-to-day clients, and, you know, hired another agent to help me with that, and then hired another assistant, you know, so it just kind of grows. And I think, you know, the reason you do it is just because the amount of business. So, but you can definitely handle, you know, a certain amount of business, but I do think it comes to a point where you need to balance, you know, work and life and what's important to you. And, you know, especially with us, we had our baby 2 years ago, and she's definitely more important to me than any amount of money I will ever make. So, you know, I try to spend as much time with her as I can now. And we might take a little bit less money but that's okay. So
it sounds to me like you grew your team based out of the volume of the work was growing, and you filled the need that way rather than try to build a team to hope that the volume shows up.
Oh yeah, definitely. You have to know, as a team leader, I mean, you have to know what you're doing, or your agents won't respect you, or will say, why am I working for you, you know? So I think you need to prove yourself before you get to that point where you bring on other people to help you.
What technology are you using in your business?
As I mentioned before, we do a lot of, you know, internet presence. Video is really big. You know, we just bought a little team flip cam that will go out and just do a bunch of videos with, pictures, flyers, and we just do a lot of this on the internet and websites and stuff like that. We usually try to make our own websites for each subdivision that we do. Social media, of course. We have like a live chat on our website where, you know, somebody can log in and you can talk to them via chat. Just different things. And we're just trying to stay on top of everything. You know, there's a couple of big players in our area, and we actually are starting a mastermind kind of group and just going to go over some stuff on, you know, what's new and innovative that we can do to grow our businesses.
Well, you've had a lot of ups and downs over the last couple of years in your market. You've got a pretty good sized team. Are you profitable?
Yeah, we definitely are profitable. I would like to be more profitable, but we're profitable. I think everybody would like to be a little bit more profitable. Well, I think, you know, going back again to starting a family and stuff, you know, I think everybody has different goals and what they want to do in life. And so to each is his own, you know. It's like if my thing is I want to stay home a couple days a week with my baby and, you know, I want to be the one to raise her. Now, some other people don't feel as strongly as that, and that's absolutely fine. You know, they're more career oriented and want to work, and that's great. But, you know, for me, as being a former teacher and stuff, I just have a love for children, and so that was really important to me, and I wanted to make sure I had a business that I could do that with, and this has been able to help me do that. But we could definitely make more money if I worked a little bit more, that's for sure. But being home with her, you know, right now is way more important to me. So
you've designed your business around your lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in this business, you can definitely do that.
How do you keep control of your time?
That's a good question. It's crazy. every day I do have a schedule. I do feel I'm pretty good with time management, but part of the problem is, you know, my schedule and what I do. You know, I'm in the office really only Tuesdays and Thursdays. Wednesdays is my day home, and Fridays usually I end up working from home too. So Mondays are a day for me to kind of catch up, and it's my time to just, you know, check emails, kind of go through things, figure out stuff. I try not to actually get on the phone and talk to clients and stuff. You know, I just really kind of, I focus my time personal time comes first for me. You know, and I think that's a good number one rule for a lot of people. And I've, you know, dealt with some coaches too that have always said that, you know, plan out your personal time first. And then from there you fill in. Because if you don't have that personal time, you will get burned out so fast. And, you know, I think that's what happened the first couple of years. I completely got burned out. And now I make sure I put my personal time in before anything else.
How many hours do you work in a typical week?
Well, depends on who this interview is getting sent out to, because I'm sure my clients don't want to hear. But for other agents, I really have a very light work week. Now, in the office, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm here every Tuesdays and Thursdays, but the good and the bad part about real estate is it never goes away. So, and the bad part about working with my husband is it never goes away. So when he comes home, we always end up talking real estate and clients and issues. So hourly, gosh, I mean, work, I would say maybe 20 hours a week. you know, but on a day-to-day basis, we're, you know, every day it never fails, we're doing something within the business.
And you've designed it that way. You brought on the team to help leverage your time. So that was a good move, and there's nothing to be ashamed about. You're making sure that all the tasks get accomplished by the team members.
Right. And I will say, being a team leader is a difficult thing. Managing real estate agents is hard. It really is, because they're their own independent contractor. You know, they don't technically work for you. You know, they just help you with your business. And that's been one of the hardest things, is managing for us and holding them accountable. And I think that's the toughest thing on being a team leader, because, you know, it is your business. It is your name, your face. But you've got these people that are helping you underneath, and you want them to do a good job. So,
your number of hours that you work in the week and your schedule, that changed how long ago?
Probably, honestly, just since the baby, 2 years ago. Yeah, and even a year ago. This year is the first year that I've pretty much got a firm schedule. Last year, it was so all over the place, just, you know, not knowing what day I would be in. You know, it was just kind of crazy. Before her, 80 hours a week. I mean, just nonstop. But, you know, I think you have to put that in, honestly, to figure out this whole real estate game and how you can make it work. So, but it does, you can make it work for you, you know, over time.
Do you have a business plan?
Sure, we absolutely do. You know, every year we set up a new plan. I mean, we have goals and objectives, and we have our values posted in our office. Yeah, everybody that comes in on our team knows what we're after.
How often do you review that plan?
We have quarterly goals, but I will say at every team meeting, which is biweekly, we kind of go over our numbers and look at everything and see where we are contracts-wise and closing-wise. And I think we have a goal of 100 transactions this year and $15 million in sales, and we'll hit our volume. We'll may not hit our number of transactions, but that's just because our dollar volume in our houses has gone up a little bit higher.
Are there certain numbers that are important to you that you try to track, certain metrics?
We definitely try to track our number of listings sides and our number of buyer sides. And then from there, we definitely track, you know, how many appointments these agents need to go on to achieve that. But, you know, overall, we look at our dollar volume and our transaction volume.
What drives you?
I would say I'm very competitive, just in general. So I think that's a big drive. If I see somebody else is doing more than me, I want to find out why. And, you know, I want to beat them. So I think competitiveness is a big thing for me. I like to be number one. I do. And I think a lot of people feel that way. They want to be the best. So that drives me. And, you know, for me, it's just, I would say really that's one of my number one drives, is just, you know, probably having too big of an ego.
Stephanie, why are you successful?
I would go back to exactly what I said before. Knowledge is power. And I think knowing my market, knowing what's happening, I think I'm a pretty, you know, I think I'm good with people. I like to listen and see what's going on in their lives and get to know my clients on a personal level, more so than just business. And I think that's important, you know, because people then, they respect you, I think, a little bit more. So, and I just think, you know, just my mom and dad owned their own business growing up, and I think I've seen that and known that that's something that I wanted to do, and just kind of kept that in mind.
Stephanie, if you were going to advise a brand new agent just getting into the business, what would you tell them to do first?
One of my big things is getting training. Training is huge, but, you know, every company will provide some sort of training, which I think is great. But I think the absolute best training you can get is one-on-one training with an agent that you can mentor, whether it be on a team, whether it be just somebody that is open and willing to, you know, go in with you. But I would make sure it's somebody that you respect that you see that you would like to be one day, and just say, hey, can I shadow you for a week and see what you do? And that's pretty much what I did. You know, I just kind of, I wanted to learn the ins and outs on a first-hand basis, you know, just how they talk with buyers, how they talk with sellers, where they show them property, all of that stuff. I think that's the most important thing that a brand new agent could do is just get that training.
Well, Stephanie, you've shared a wealth of information for anyone thinking about working with developers, builders, and new home construction. Your building background, thirst for knowledge, and competitive spirit have combined to make a formidable real estate career. Thank you again for being our Rising Agent of the Month.
You've been listening to the Mastermind Agent Interview of the Month Club, where top agents, rising agents, team members, and guests from across North America reveal their success secrets, strategies, and systems in up-close and personal interviews. You can find all the club interviews at www.mastermindagent.com.